It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chip.
Hour two begins here on the show. Here with you, Sean here as well, at Delvey2 to tweet at us. Well, at least to tweet at me, at Sean, and Mapes to tweet at Sean. And if you want to call in, 713-780-3776. Sean, we talked about this, at least I did, yesterday. And we got into coaches on Capitol Hill, particularly Nick Saban. This was an NIL conversation. What can be done? The SEC commissioner was there, Greg Sankey. Saban wants revenue sharing. He doesn't want the players to be employees. And the pull quote that got me riled up, and certainly others, was the fact that he was referencing a conversation he had with his wife. And I'm not going to repeat the tweet. Let's just hear from Nick Saban himself regarding the conversation with Miss Terry and why maybe her feelings prompted him leaving the game.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this?
Okay, I'm going to try to relax here before I get back into my bag from yesterday. Sean, when do you think Nick Saban realized that money was a big part of college sports? Do you think it just happened? Do you think he had a eureka moment in the last year or so, and or maybe the last couple years because of NIL, that using money to entice players was important?
Yeah, it had to have been, in 2021 when NIL became allowed, because before then, a recruit's parents never asked for money from a coach or from a school to go to school there. So, yeah, using money to induce someone to go to a college football program, especially in the SEC, that had to have started in NIL. So, yeah, 2021 probably.
Yeah, so he and Miss Terry now are disillusioned by the game because for, I guess, the first 50 years of his career in college sports, this wasn't occurring.
No.
But now that NIL is at the forefront, money is too big of a factor. What happened to the game he loved, Sean? Now it's changed, and now he wanted out. Breathe. The disingenuous nature of that particular statement should be something we analyze to the end of his time. Because can he actually think we believe that he, and now, because he brought the quote to us, his wife, weren't aware of what it took to run a major program for, let's say, the 15 years previous to 2021? Is that what he wants us to believe? That every time an Alabama player either decided not to take an official visit someplace, I don't know if I'm pulling back the curtain, but sometimes kids got paid not to take an official visit to a place because Alabama didn't want, or any major program, let's not just zero in on Alabama, any major program didn't want that kid going to a school on a visit and changing their mind after they had committed to a place. Does he want us to think that wasn't a thing until NIL got involved? Or was it a dirty business always, but it was his type of business that he understood, and now this version of it, where I guess the kids are way too upfront because they're asking his wife about money? Oh, okay. Do you actually think that a five-star recruit from Texas that Alabama is after is sitting down with Miss Terry at the dinner table after dessert and going, yeah, this is all nice, but what about the bag? Are they having that conversation with her? Because maybe she's too involved in the recruiting process if they think they're comfortable enough to ask her about it.
I don't think they're sitting down. Maybe it's like a, you know, side conversation.
At the pool? At his giant pool in the backyard?
Yeah, she's like, you know, I don't know, pouring some lemonade for someone. And then they kind of, you know, sidle up next to her and they're like, hey, so, what can you do for us?
Is she the bag man? Is Miss Terry the bag man?
Bag woman.
Oh, yes. Let's be.
Women can be bag
people. Bag person.
Yeah.
Let's make it bag person. Equal opportunity here. Is Miss Terry the bag person for Alabama? So the moms, the dads, the handlers, and the kids are all going to Miss Terry and going, yeah, that whole streak of first-round pick thing is cool. But how much is it going to cost you to get me here? Look, I know crazy conversations can be had because the money is large and everybody wants a piece. But I ain't going to believe that she had consistent conversations for the last year or so that disillusioned her because she was talking to recruits about money. Stop it. Stop. Enough. I said that quite a bit yesterday. What it is it's a different game, and he doesn't want to play it anymore. And that's fine. We agree. You're an older man. You've done a lot. Unquestioned best college football coach of all time. Nothing's going to take that away from you unless Kirby wins, like, 5 in the next 8 years or so. Then maybe we have a different conversation about who the best of the best is. But just accept that the game has changed. You don't want to be a part of it, and you're done. Don't act like money wasn't always a major factor in college sports, and you were, or maybe it was, and you were completely innocent. It's something no one's going to believe. I don't want to pile on, but every time you think about how illogical that statement is, and who it involved, and then you have to start to draw conclusions about what he wants us to believe about his program and major programs across the country. Yeah, it just got dirty in the last 3 years. The game has been irrevocably changed because of the last 3 years. Okay, sure. That's what everyone's going to believe. And I don't even begrudge Alabama or any major program for doing it a certain way, because how do you win if you don't? Everyone else is doing it, and that's maybe a improper or poor moralistic way of approaching things. But if the goal is to win, and everyone has decided this is the way you win, you got to compete. So the whole if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying thing, I'm completely fine with that attitude, but just don't tell me that now the players asking for money is bothersome. We know who you are. You didn't win all those titles doing it, quote unquote, the right way. You must think we're stupid. But everyone eating it up. The dumb part is, why the hell are you sitting next to Ted Cruz? Don't you know what type of jinx he is? That's what he should be concerned about. If he has any thoughts about being successful in other ventures the rest of his time, get away from Ted Cruz. Because as far as sports are concerned, ultimate cooler. At least when it comes to Texas sports. It ain't even unique to Houston. Let that man show up at a Dallas Cowboy game. Things went poorly. Now, Cruz showed up at like ALCS games, right?
Yeah.
And did he show up to the ones in Arlington and Houston?
He showed up to the ones in Houston.
And the home team lost all those games?
Yes.
Okay. Nick Saban, you got other things to worry about.
He also went to the Sugar Bowl for Texas. Washington versus Texas.
And he was obviously rooted for Texas.
Obviously.
And how did that play out for Texas?
Not great.
So
Michael Penix is going to be a first-round pick.
he was after that one until Michigan beat the hell out of him. We'll see what the off-season draft stuff and all the draft circuit does for Michael Penix. But I'd be far more concerned about Ted Cruz being the cooler for you, Nick Saban, going forward the rest of your life than anything about your past and how college football has changed. But some of the stuff he was asking for, you can get behind. It's just unfortunate that what he said there is something that I can't understand, because he must think we're stupid. And maybe he does. He gets away with it. He's got a lot of sycophants. Everyone there was eating Nick Saban up. Everyone loves him in the game. The people who interview him, Coach Nick, all that stuff. They love him.
I'm sure like the Congress people are talking to you were like, oh, this is awesome. I get to meet Nick Saban.
Yeah. There are very few times where Nick Saban's going to run into a place where people are going to look at him with an eye and go, all right, buddy. Sure. Everywhere he goes, for the most part, And why? Because he's a great football coach, so we have to believe everything he says and think everything he says is top draw. He coaches football.
To be fair, that's probably why he thinks everyone's stupid. It's like, dude, I was running that sport, and guys were getting paid tens of millions of dollars, and I was running circles around them.
Yeah, he, he may think he's always the smartest guy. And if people have been eating, look, if people have been eating up everything you say for years, you're going to try things and see how far you can go. And I'm just a dummy in Houston, probably as dumb as the people who believe in him, saying, not this time, not this time. But shout out to Mr. Terry and Nick Saban for trying to fool everyone. It happens, just not to me. We got a couple other things to get to. In fact, we're going to play some sound from spring break. It is spring break for a lot of people. In fact, one of our interns is not, she's not here. She texted me and said, hey, it's spring break. I'll be back. And I'm like, oh, cool, spring break. When you get to a certain point, you don't even realize it's spring break until someone tells you. Well, this young lady, not our intern, this is not sound from her. This would be a completely different conversation when you hear it. We're going to play this on the other side. A young lady is enjoying spring break at a level that I'm not surprised by, but I wouldn't be so public about how things go in the first 2 days if I were her, because there's video and now people know who she is and she said some egregious things. We'll hear that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome in. Sean, I was talking to Sean during the break just now about who's at the rodeo today. And because, you know, technology sometimes isn't great, I think he caught me saying Nickelback. And he goes, no, this isn't Nickelback. I was like, Sean, if I thought this was Nickelback, there'd be a bigger discussion to be had.
I've worked with a lot of different hosts that I would not trust to identify Jay-Z song.
Yeah.
So,
but even if I didn't know it's Jay-Z,
I knew that you knew that the Nickelback rodeo was today.
They're in town tonight. Nickelback.
And so I thought you were asking, is this?
No.
Yeah.
Not a chance. As I said, there, my card would get taken away. It's a card I don't use very often, but it would get taken away if I thought this song by Jay-Z was Nickelback.
There'd be there's a lot of horns.
Yeah. Well, still, this ain't, that wasn't Photograph. And that'll probably get played tonight. It might be the closer. I've never been. I don't know their set list, but I'm sure that'll be part of the encore. Photograph. Nickelback in town. I didn't even know they were an American band. Someone corrected me because it said the great American band, facetiously, Nickelback's in town. They're like, don't put that on us. They're Canadian. And that they are. But a lot of American fans will be in town tonight to watch them play their hits at NRG as part of the whole rodeo experience. Before we go to break, because this will have to be a short segment, I wanted to play the sound. Sean, when's the last time you cared about spring break? Because you've been out of college for a while, but even maybe the first couple years, people who aren't in college go on spring break, mostly because maybe you have a part-time job that doesn't require you to be in a certain spot for a week at a time. When's the last time you've experienced spring break?
2020.
Oh, before? No. During COVID?
Well, because I was about to get hired, and then they sent us all home, and then and I thought that COVID was only going to be for, like, I don't know, a month tops.
Like a lot of people did?
Yeah. And so I was like, I literally, because I graduated in 19, so I was like, oh, I just get a spring break right before I get hired.
Yeah. And then we saw how that played out for everyone.
Months. Yeah. But the last, like, actual spring break I had was 2019.
Mine, way before that. But I don't think I've ever experienced it in the way this young lady has experienced. And maybe, Sean, after we've played it, you can take part in maybe possibly knowing what she means. Who knows? Maybe you have a secret to tell. But this is just a young lady being interviewed about the spring break experience. You know, you guys, you see whether you're on social media or not, particularly on Instagram, these things pop up where somehow you can find and make a living just interviewing people in these environments, and you get interactions, and then you get money for them. Well, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but you get it. that's how the internet sometimes works. Here is a gentleman interviewing this young lady experiencing the first couple of days of spring break.
So tell me, how do y'all start y'all's day?
Morning routine, two things you can't live without, two things you can't live without. Bronzer and cocaine. Wake up, put on bronzer, cocaine, we're good for the day.
Bronzer, then cocaine.
I know, I'm a senior in college and here I am. Yeah, my two go-tos, bronzer and cocaine.
And this is the first day of spring break.
First day of spring break.
First day of spring break.
Excuse me, the first day of spring break. Considering the level of drunkenness, she didn't even mention alcohol. It was bronzer and cocaine are her go-tos.
Well, she said that's how you start your day.
Okay, yeah, you got to get up and get ready.
She's working herself into the alcohol. To the vodka. This is at night, so.
To the vodka and other drinks. Bronzer and cocaine. Has that combo, I'm not going to say you've used either, but has that.
I have not used the combination.
But maybe individually, but don't incriminate yourself. Is bronzer, you've been to spring break, as I said, more recently than me. Is bronzer and cocaine part of the starter pack for others, not necessarily for you?
Yeah, I'd say they are.
Okay.
I'd say they are.
So she's,
I mean, bronzer for, you know, a certain demographic.
Certainly, yes. Certainly. Yeah. Bronzer and cocaine. And that, look, in an audio form, she can maintain some anonymity. That's a video that everyone gets to see.
She also dropped that she's a senior in college.
It's as if that matters at that point.
Well, A, like that, yes, like that matters. B, that means she's, if not, either she already has a job lined up. I'm going to go ahead and listen. This is unfair to judge her off this video. I'm going to assume she does not have a job lined up for after she graduates.
If she did, she would take better care, I think. Not to get on. Well, she's drunk, so who knows where her faculties lie. But if you did have a good job lined up and you're a senior, maybe
keep the cocaine talk to a minimum. Keep it,
or maybe you're going to go on Wall Street, and maybe that's a benefit. Maybe they say, yeah, that's great.
True. Culture fit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know the system.
You understand. Yeah.
Bronzer and cocaine, you know the scheme.
Like Aziz Alshayer. He knows the scheme.
Yeah, exactly.
And she knows the Wall Street scheme. So bronzer and cocaine are her two go-tos. Look, the honesty I appreciate.
I'd throw in sunscreen, too. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably in the mix. That's probably in the mix. I'm trying to think what else goes into the spring break starter pack for this particular girl. Because there are other people who don't treat it with the bronzer and cocaine touch.
Other people wouldn't do bronzer. You wouldn't need bronzer.
I wouldn't. And the cocaine thing I'm off of, too.
Okay.
So whatever she had, I wouldn't borrow. We
0
would
for 2.
I'm 0 for 2. Yeah.
You don't have a lot. The Venn diagrams are not overlapping.
Oddly enough, after listening to her, me and her don't a lot of things don't come together to make us a pairing. What else would she have besides she'd have the bronzer, the cocaine, whatever she uses for skin protection. Do you think she's
other kind of protection?
That's what I was going to say. Do you think that this particular girl is carrying that around along with her bronzer and cocaine?
You should just flatly, not just her. You should.
Everyone. Yeah. On spring break. Yes. Everyone should have it. Yes.
But, I would assume she does. She seems prepared. She has bronzer. She has cocaine.
She would have protection multiple ways, whether it be,
I imagine so.
Suntan lotion or other things. So, shout out to that young lady. I'm not sure how life's going to go for you past this point. Cause if it found this show, you know, it found others.
Oh my god, I'm glad. Well, actually, imagine knowing this person. Imagine just being like, wait, is that Ashley?
Yeah, she's in my psychology class.
Yeah, she's in my small group and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you brought up a great point. I hope she does have a job and they don't care or they don't see it.
Where would she have to have a job where they see that and they're like, don't care? The Dallas Cowboys? Like, what are we talking
about? Well, the 90s Cowboys. Not this version of them.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, the drunkenness and the cocaine is going to put her in a spot where it'd have to be a very special job. What if, is she stripped? Would they care? I don't think you line up that job months in advance.
Yeah,
that's not how that works.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to say I'm not sure how many, you know,
strip clubs would have you locked into a job once you graduate from college.
it's the Astros signing Framber Valdez out of the Dominican Republic.
You dance and then you get the job. You do a little audition. I can't think of one where no one's going to care.
Drug running? Like,
but no, even they want you to be quiet about things.
Yeah, that is true. Blabbing to a camera
doesn't help. That doesn't help. So hopefully for her, her future employer doesn't see this. Because if they do, this is a thing that's going to follow her around.
Your future employee doesn't Google your name.
Well, I didn't find it because of her name, but if her name is out there,
I imagine
she's been identified.
Her name is
she has been identified definitely by someone.
Someone saw it on Instagram. Okay, here's what happened. Someone who's friends with her on Instagram but isn't on spring break with her saw that video on Reels or whatever. And while they were also putting on bronzer and doing cocaine in the morning, they thought it'd be a good idea to like tag her and be like, "Oh my God, that's so Ashley."
Yeah,
I don't know why I made her Ashley. I just picked a name.
Bronzer cocaine, at least giving her that name. And Ashley's got to be like, "You're not a bro. You're not a friend. You can't tag me in that." Art says we're talking about her starter pack. Art says the morning after pill would be in there. Would be in the bag too. Well, that speaks to protection. If you have protection, you don't need that. Hopefully. Hopefully, but Ashley, as we're going to deem her, hopefully, Ashley, this doesn't follow you around and you find a way to keep your job, the one you have lined up, or secure the job you're trying to line up. And this is just a spring break indiscretion. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I was just joking. I'm creating content.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
It was a bit.
That's what you do. I was just creating content.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see her reaction when she like sees
when she's sober and sees this.
We
better wait.
Morning.
She'll never be sober the rest of this week. Okay, it's still spring break.
You know what? Yeah, and you know what? I'm gonna give her because Sunday is St. Patrick's Day, so I'm gonna give her until like Monday at like 4 p.m. to see this in a sober mindset.
When she finally comes back from
5 days from now,
and she realizes, oof, Monday was rough because she said it was the first day. She didn't even get to get day two before she goes viral. And you should learn, never go viral, particularly when you're talking about bronzer and cocaine. We'll update you on what the Texans did earlier. It's not a lot as far as signing a guy, but they did make an acquisition, strengthening their offensive line. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about where he came from and what it might mean for the current roster. And we'll also go through some of the guys who are going to become available, if not now, then in the near future as far as free agency, because the deadline is coming up where you got to be cap compliant and some teams aren't there yet. And what that means is a couple big names may come on the board, particularly if you're looking west to LA and the Chargers, where a sack leader, a big time guy, defensive end, may be available, and maybe two if the Chargers aren't careful. But first, I want to talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is the place you go if you want to have a little fun when it comes to sports betting. That's the place you go to because of the bonus cash they offer you. They make it very easy for you to get in and put a bet on a game you like. It doesn't have to be a bet. Could be a prop. Maybe you have something as far as who's going to win the AFC South with the Texans acquisitions. You can do the future stuff too. Go to MyBookie.ag to do that. If you want to play online computer games, they provide that for you too. Slots, table games, Texas Hold'em, and lots more. Tons of cool games. You can enter the live casino, and they have a real in the flesh dealer that you can play poker or blackjack or go on the roulette table. The live casino is really next level. Play wherever you want, home office, your personal office, or the actual office if they allow that sort of thing. Just go to mybookie.ag to get started. Click on bonuses to see all the great ways to turn your deposit into bonus cash. Whether you're new to MyBookie or you want to reload as an existing customer, you can also refer a friend and get some bonus cash. Use promo code BET975. Turn your space into your casino with mybookie.ag. Once again, use promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Is this Jay-Z? you would have had to have been here the last segment to get the reference, but Nickelback's in town for the rodeo. They're going to be at NRG tonight. They are, I wouldn't say controversial. It's just that if you like them, you get shamed immediately. Although, clearly, a lot of people like them because they sold plenty of albums, but maybe the friend groups, if you like Nickelback, your whole friend group likes Nickelback, because how could you be friends with people? Well, I guess part of friendship is making fun of others, but I don't know anyone who likes Nickelback. I mean, I'm not going to be a snob and say some of the songs aren't fine, and I'm going to leave it at that level. I'm not going to say great, just because it's not the music I would normally listen to, but I'm not going to be like, oh, they're just trash. That Spider-Man song was pretty good. Hero, if a hero can save us, I'm not going to, whatever the rest of the lyrics are. I just remember that.
I would have played that one. I was not aware of their game.
The first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, they had one of the big songs off that soundtrack. So I ain't going to pretend like I didn't hear that song quite a bit because I'm a big Spider-Man fan, but just my friend groups have not been fans. But breaking news.
We do have breaking news from Adam Schefter. The Texans have a trade.
Big news. Maybe.
They have traded defensive tackle Malik Collins to the 49ers.
For compensation?
That's not... hold on. Let me see. I do not have any compensation yet. This is from 51 seconds ago.
Okay. So the belief is that Eric Armstead, well, because of previous reports, is going to become a free agent. He isn't one yet, but officially he will become one shortly. Now, the speculation will be, now the Texans will have a roster spot to fill at that position. Maybe they're going to want Eric Armstead. I don't know. Eric Armstead's been hurt a lot. Durability certainly is a concern, but I know the thought was Malik Collins was going to be part of this quote-unquote elite defensive line with Danico Autry and the acquisition of Daniil Hunter, and also Will Anderson. Now, one of the members of that potentially elite defensive line is now gone in a trade to San Francisco, and San Francisco makes that acquisition because they don't expect to have Eric Armstead back. So where does he go? The Texans still have plenty of cap space if they wanted to make that move and now have more because they traded Malik Collins away. The team with the most cap space as of a couple hours ago, according to Over the Cap, is the Titans. $75 million. They haven't made really any moves of consequence. They're going to have Justin Simmons visit, who is a safety that was released by the Broncos. Jerome Baker, a linebacker, the Dolphins release, is planning to visit the Titans. So the Titans have the money to pay some guys. We'll see if they do. But Malik Collins, no longer a Texan. And I think, and a surprise to many, I don't think anyone saw that coming. I was going to start the segment after I got away from Nickelback, telling you that David Sharp is a new Texan. And in fact, he was a former Texan, too. He was on the team during the Bill O'Brien era in 2018. Why would you remember a swing tackle from then? You wouldn't. I didn't. But now he's back. He likely is a George Fant replacement. He hasn't played a lot of football. Certainly hasn't started a lot of games. He is someone for depth. And maybe not to the level where he's going to be depended on to be a backup if someone's injured, whether it be Tunsil or Titus Howard, as we believe he'll move back to right tackle. But they do sign David Sharp, but clearly the biggest news of the day so far is the trading of Malik Collins. And if we have or get the information regarding what the compensation is, we will let you know. We know the Joe Mixon stuff came far after this show is over when he was traded for a conditional seventh-round pick. So Nick Cassero wheeling and dealing, trying to get more draft compensation. We'll see if it's for this year or next year, or maybe it's a simple player swap. You never know, particularly with D'Amico's connections. He may like a 49er, and he wants them on the roster. But Malik Collins out the door. So the Texans went from Sheldon Rankins and Malik Collins as the two big names, if you want to call them that, in their defensive tackle rotation to D'Amico Autry. And who knows? So they create a hole by trading Malik Collins. Now they have to fill it. And I'll take it, Nick. Just provide me with content. Provide me with some excitement. Because now it's going to get everyone excited about, it's got to be Eric Armstead. They're going to replace Malik Collins with Eric Armstead. We'll see going forward. But Texans are active, which is always good. And we'll see what it means for the roster going forward. What was your favorite Malik Collins moment?
Wow, really putting me on the spot.
I'm going to go with this fit. I like his helmet and his face mask. That's my favorite Malik Collins moment.
He looked cool,
yes.
It is hard to be, like, defensive tackle cool. Because mostly the cool guys, you have to be in shape or, you know, fast or something. Or, like, super built. Like, I saw some picture of Danielle Hunter's arms when he was in Minnesota. He's, like, he's giant.
Yeah,
arms.
He's a big, impressive defensive end.
And Malik Collins, a little bit different of a body type.
Certainly.
But, yeah, he was cool. He was a cool player. Good. He was good. That's what I remember.
I remember him being productive, yes. But now no longer a Houston Texan. No.
Well, gone but not forgotten.
He'll be forgotten pretty quickly, particularly if they make a big signing.
By the way,
are there going to be tribute videos?
Did I send you the tweet from the day one of free agency where Brando on Twitter was keeping track of like the basically who's in and who's out, and he would make a picture. And the people coming in, their picture would be in color, and the people that were leaving were in, like, muted black and white, like they died.
Like they died? Yeah.
And it was, like, Jonathan Grenard and Blake Cashman. And it was, like, black and white. I'm like, I was expecting him to put in loving memory of.
Yeah, well, is Sarah McLachlan going to play underneath? They provide some music to it?
Yeah, put some doves.
Yeah, what are we doing? They're just going to a different team.
They're both going to Minnesota together,
in fact, they've got friends there now. They know people there, each other. Malik Collins traded to the 49ers, and it's only happened 5 minutes ago. Sean was on the ball, so once we get that information, we'll let you know. What did we miss? We probably missed plenty, but did want to update you on Alperen Sengun. We don't have to play sound here, but Ime Udoka talked about Alperen, and he said it's a grade 3 sprain. He says no ligament damage, no tear, nothing broken. Nothing broken you would see in an X-ray. The ligament thing you would see in an MRI. But the problem with calling it a grade 3 sprain, that says something was torn. In fact, the ligament would be completely torn. So it goes against what Ime Udoka said. I'm not sure about the disconnect. We talked about that early in the show. Any doctor who has decided to diagnose Alperen Sengun from afar, which I think is always sketchy, but If you did go to medical school and you think you can make a determination, cool. But one guy who did said, after he heard the diagnosis, he went in to talk about how it could be multiple ligaments when it's that severe that have been torn. Directly flies in the face of what the Rockets coaches said. And really what we'll find out about what's true and what's not, we'll find that out when we hear a real timetable. Because Ime says 4 weeks or so, it is a major injury. When we talk about time miss, 4 weeks in a season is a pretty big deal, but he was comforted by no broken bones and no torn ligaments. But if we hear about Alperen Sengun being out for the Olympics because he's still recovering, then maybe it's a bigger injury than or qualifying, because Sean talked about Turkey has to qualify. If he's not even available for qualifying for Turkey, maybe the injury is a bit more severe than initially reported, at least from Ime in his presser yesterday. So also, Cam Whitmore will also be out for a while, maybe the rest of the season. He's got a knee sprain that Ime Udoka says will keep him out for 3 weeks, and the season has about 4 weeks left. So the thing might be, why are we rushing Cam Whitmore back for the final couple games of the year, particularly if you are completely out of the play-in, which I guess you could convince yourself you're still in, but you're probably not. That's a lot of ground to make up in a short amount of time. So a couple of key injuries to a couple of really young Rockets that have a lot of promise. And we'll see how they recover. Thankfully, if Ime Udoka is right, none of these are really long-term things that will affect next season at all. That's your Rockets wrap-up. We got one more segment to go here. And if the Malik Collins stuff kind of gets finalized as far as compensation, we'll let you know. And if not, we'll get to some other things before we wrap it up. Sean, Dell, one more segment to go on the show. We'll be back.
This is the Dell Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell Olalea.
Final segment of the show. The news that just broke, Malik Collins is no longer a Texan. He's a 49er. The trade was for a seventh-round pick, so if you're talking about value, and Eric talked about it before, he called in about the value for running backs. Malik Collins, a good defensive tackle, not a great one, and defensive tackles have to be great before they get really big money. gets traded for the same thing that the Texans traded for Joe Mixon, who has been a really productive back for quite a while now. Wasn't as explosive in the run game, but he's a guy who can catch passes. So if C.J. Stroud wants a guy to dump the ball off to, Joe Mixon is a guy he can use. In his career best year as far as quarterback hits, with 18 and 5 sacks, which tied a career high, Malik Collins did a pretty good job for the Texans, and they said, thanks for that, bye. Bye. We think, I imagine they believe they have an in on something where they think they can improve that, and trading Malik Collins would make sense then, but you have to close the deal whoever they think is coming in. The natural inclination is to believe that is Eric Armstead, just because he's the name that's available and the connection, but I don't know. Malik Collins, now a San Francisco 49er, and okay, sure, make the trade. Texans believe they can improve with a different player. Go ahead. It does leave a bit of a gap, unless you're going to bring back Sheldon Rankins until you go find a free agent signing to make up for those two not being around anymore. You did it once with DeNico Autry, but now you have another opening at the starting defensive tackle position.
Yeah, I mean maybe this is just kind of whatever initial shock, but I would be surprised if they don't sign somebody here today at defensive tackle, right? You imagine that you make this move because Eric Armstead has not been officially released yet.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not actually on the market.
We've been talking about it for days. The expectation is he will be released, but it has not happened yet.
Yes, he's elected to be released.
Yes, but the 49ers have not confirmed that they've elected to release him.
Has not confirmed the election, yes.
Yeah, we know what you want, Eric, but it's about what we want. And right now they have not said, or they have not made it official, that they want him gone. We'll see. But they did just acquire a defensive tackle, so maybe it opens up gives them more flexibility to make that release happen, and then we'll see where Eric Armstead goes. I don't see you as a type, Sean, to watch anything that Skip Bayless does. Not on television. You may see a clip because it comes across your timeline.
Yeah, not spending my mornings on FS1.
Yes, you're not a follower of him on Twitter, are you?
I don't think I follow him. Because of the concept, same reason I don't follow LeBron, it's that if they say anything,
it'll show up. Someone you know will retweet it, and people were retweeting and quote tweeting Skip Bayless yesterday. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So if people don't know, Skip Bayless, giant Cowboy fan, loves to talk about the Cowboys, whether it's positive or negative. He tweeted out you would assume it's his displeasure at the Cowboys not making any moves. You never know. I'm just assuming.
We don't know if it's displeasure or not.
You never know. You don't know. You don't know.
I don't know what he's into.
I don't know.
Was this supposed to be a tweet? Was it a text that he
accidentally
accidentally sent out?
Put out on Twitter? These are questions that must be asked, I guess. But if we're going to take it as he understands how Twitter works, and he understands he was in the correct app, he tweeted out, "All in, comma, my ass."
All in my ass.
I didn't say it that way because I don't want people to pull that and use it against me like you just did. I'm not going to use it against you because you're the producer for this show. But if someone on the previous show had done what you just did, it'd be part of the show forever.
Yeah. They must have been on Red Alert. Did they talk about it?
No, they didn't talk about it.
Oh, okay. I mean, Lance especially, because Lance has quite a few...
Certainly. He has a history of saying things that become part of the show, because he just doesn't know that everything gets recorded. Don't record that. Everything is recorded. I don't have to do anything. I just have to go grab it. But he tweeted out, as I just said, "All in, comma, my ass." And that's fine. I mean, whatever it's in reference to, but I think I've seen enough of everyone quote tweeting it and go, "Man, that comma's really doing a lot of work there."
Yeah.
After the first 15 famous people do it, do you get to it within the hour of the tweet and then you're allowed to? But if it's 8 hours later and everyone who has seen it is making reference to it, did you just back away and go, "You know what? Everyone has made a joke. I can't make a joke that's better. I'm just not going to do it anymore."
Honestly, I think you have like 20 minutes.
You're limiting it to 20.
Because within 5 minutes, everyone made the same joke. So, like, make a different joke if you're going to go that route. Yeah, I don't. Shout out to Skip, veteran move. He knows he could not have not put a comma there. He
knows
had to have put a comma.
He knows the importance of commas, which is a lot of the jokes were about that. I'm like, all right, guys, understood.
Yeah, but there's a way. Like, I don't know. Just don't make this literally the same. Like, oh, that comma, and it's like the guy dodging like. With one person sleeping and the troop taking all the knives and gunshots in the back and like that comma Spider-Man holding back the train. It's like no one's not making that joke. Everyone's making that specific joke.
And because you're in the sports world sphere, you're all seeing the same joke about the comma.
Yeah.
Enough. We get it. The comma did the work. Understood. And really, if you're a Cowboy hater, the importance of that comma and really the tweet overall is that the Cowboys have done nothing as far as improving that team.
Yeah, they said they would go all in, and so he's saying all in.
Comma.
My ass.
Yes. I'm trying to use a comma to protect you.
You're using the verbal comma.
Yeah, I'm using it to try to keep anyone who would like to slander you from doing it.
It's all right.
I mean, the only one who would actually do – who would do it, like – I wouldn't go after you. You're a producer. You produce the next show. I guess if Brian had it in for you, if he held a grudge against you.
Which he might. We never know.
And do they still do that thing about the Who Said, or is that on the next show, the Who Said It thing?
No, that's Killer Bees. Killer Bees does.
So maybe that. He'll grab it.
What? And then someone on the station said, all in.
Comma.
My ass.
Who said it? Sean Mapes.
Skip Bayless.
Well, he wrote it, but the comma is very important. As everyone told me, he probably said it at some point, too.
He said it out loud. He probably said it on the show today, but, you know, a tree falls in a forest.
Already asked me another inappropriate question. I can't ask
you. I feel like he does that a lot.
Yeah, and I'm usually the one who is in your position, and I can just read them without having any real effect on the show because my mic's off. Now I'm just looking at things as we close it out and looking at them going, I can't read that art. Stop it. You're probably right, but I can't read it.
Oh, whoa.
You don't know which one I'm referring to. That's how I escape any real trouble. We're done. That's another way how I escape trouble. I just stop saying stuff, and we get out of here. Gallant and George up next. You can watch the entire rest of the lineup on ESPN Houston, which is our YouTube channel. Find it, YouTube, search it, and you'll be able to watch us live, as always, from 7 to sometimes 7, you know, Game On, Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, they're all part of the station, so just tune in. Watch, listen all day long. You know you'll want to. I'll be back tomorrow with Sean. Sean will get the Gallant and George show through the next couple hours because he's a star, and he's all in as well. But I'm not finishing
my ass.
Sean doesn't care. I credit him for not caring. But Gallant and George up next.